It is said
asav
that Vidikritya Yoga.
Vidikritya Yoga.
Fitness of order and duty.
Fitness of order and duty.
Translation by Dakini of Unnecessary. Excuse me of being dead though alive. In this regard, I can only say that this is the case everywhere, because everything material has its beginning and end, as far as you're thinking that you are the king and master and are thus ordered, trying to order me. This is also incorrect, because these positions are temporary. Today you are a king and I am your servant, but tomorrow the position may be changed and you may be my servant and I your master. These are temporary circumstances created by providence. Prabhupada, the bodily conception is the basic principle of suffering and material existence. In Kali Yuga, especially if people are so uneducated, they cannot even understand that the body is changing at every moment, and the ultimate change is called death. In this life, one may be a king, and in the next life, one may be a dog, according to karma. A spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. He is put in one type of condition and again changed into another type. Without self-realization and knowledge, conditional life continues, and one falsely thinks himself a king, a servant, a cat, or a dog. These are simply different transformations brought about by the supreme arrangement. One should not be misled by such temporary bodily conceptions. Actually, no one is master within the material world, for everyone is under the control of material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate master. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita English, Sri Krishna Sambhritya, the only master is Krishna, everyone else is his servant. Forgetfulness of our relationship with the Supreme Lord brings about our suffering in the material world. My dear king, if you still think that you are the king, that I am your servant, you should order me, and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who was the master and who was the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature. Therefore, no one is master and no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? Purport is stated, Srimad Bhagavatam Aham Mama Iti. One thinks I am this body, and in this body of relationship, he is my master, he is my servant, she is my wife, he is my son. These are all conceptions. All these conceptions are temporary due to the inevitable change of the body and the arrangement of material nature. We are gathered together like straws floating in the waves of an ocean, straws that are never separated by the laws of the waves. Hence, material, whatever, is floating in the waves of motion existence. Nations, as described by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vichimaya, Vasa, Jatsa, Veshe, Katsa, Havudu, Bhai, Diva Krishna Das, Avish, Vaskarita, Hardhukha, Nai. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur states that all men and women are floating like straws in the waves of material nature. If they come to the understanding that they are the eternal servants of Krishna, they'll put an end to this floating condition. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kamaesha, Koreesha, Raja, Gwansamudbhava, due to the mode of passion, we desire many things, and according to our desire or anxiety, and according to the order of the Supreme Lord. Material nature gives us a certain type of body, but sometimes we play as master or servant, as actors play on a stage under someone else's direction. While in the human form, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage of performance. We should come to our original constitutional position known as Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, the real master is material nature. Under the spell of material nature, we are becoming servants and masters, but if we agree to be controlled by the Supreme Personality of God and His eternal servants, this temporary condition ceases to exist. My dear king, you have said, you rascal, you dull, crazy fellow, I am going to chastise you, and then you will come to your senses. In this regard, let me say that though I live like a dull, deaf, and dumb man, I am actually a self-realized person. What will you gain by punishing me? If your calculation is true and I am a madman, then your punishment will be like beating a dead horse. There will be no effect. When a madman is punished, he is not cured of his madness. Therefore, everyone in the material world is working like a madman under certain impressions falsely acquired in the material condition. For example, a thief who knows that stealing is not good and who knows that it is followed with punishment by the king or upon God, who has seen that thieves are arrested and punished by the police, nonetheless steals again and again. He is obsessed with the idea that by stealing he will be happy. This is a sign of madness. Despite repeated punishment, the thief cannot give up the stealing habit. Therefore, the punishment is useless. So here continue the arguments of Jad Bharat on the basis that one is not the body, and whatever King Rahugana said was actually related to the body. So he gave these arguments that actually all your words are useless and meaningless, whether I'm fat or thin or old, or whether I'm dead or alive. It doesn't really matter because it's all to do with the material body. And in one sense, you're true. It's true. Yes, I am dead because I'm not the body. The body is dead matter only, etc. So he uses these type of arguments to counteract the king. We can also, even these arguments, we could attack in one sense. They come from the idea that everything is more or less illusory in the material world and meaningless. So, similar to the impersonalists, will say everything is illusory. So, our concepts of the body, etc., and our relationships, speaking together, is all actually meaningless. They will also raise a similar type of argument. And we, of course, will counteract that by saying it's not really illusory, and that when we're in the body, if we do talk, there is some meaning to that, or if another person hits another person, yet definitely there is pain involved, etc. So we will not call it complete illusion. Yeah? So to simply say that none of this has any meaning in all of the words of Rahugana are completely meaningless also, is from the Vaishnava point of view not really correct. So we use these, Jad Bharat uses these arguments much like Krishna uses arguments in talking to, for instance, Nanda Maharaj when he defeats him when he wants to have a sacrifice for Indra. So he uses all sorts of arguments which are taken from Jnana and from Sankhya and from other places, Karma, Kanda, etc., which are not actually Vaishnava Siddhanta. And he borrows these arguments and says it's all useless, whatever, to defeat Nanda Maharaj. Similarly, we should not take these such arguments to the absolute extreme and use them in all cases. However, they are useful to destroy ignorance or to shock a person into understanding that his statements are not completely correct. So yes, we are an illusion in the material world and due to our identification with the body, but we should not think that everything is therefore meaningless and that everything is illusory. That we should not think. Even though we have material bodies, etc., these things can be useful for us also. So they simply have to be used in a certain type of way, and then they can have some significance. So that is how we define sadhana bhakti, engaging the senses and the mind favorably in the service of the Lord. So yes, it is material and it's maya and whatever, but by using these things, we actually get spiritual benefit if we use it in a certain way, that is through the process of bhakti yoga. So here, Jad Bharat anyway is arguing to deflate the pride of King Rahugana by showing that his words actually are based upon ignorance, and the king thinking that he has a certain position and he can punish Jad Bharat because of his position. So of course in normal society that is so, and even we will accept the fact that authorized king in the Varnashram system has a right to punish the citizens. So we find that Parikshit was ready to punish Kalki. So Kali, sorry. personification of Kali. So of course Kali gets asked, hey, you're a king and you're identifying with the material body, and actually nobody's a punisher and nobody's getting punished. You could say that also. But in normal circumstances, no, we don't say that. There are certain rules, and in normal circumstances the person follows those rules. So Bhriksha was following those rules like that. But anyway, here Rahugana is rather puffed up. He's not on the same level as Pariksit. So Bharat is taking this opportunity to teach him by showing the illusory nature of the statements. So therefore he says, actually, you think you're a king or master or whatever, but all of this is at best temporary, because you do karma, you're a king now, next lifetime you're not a king. So it's temporary in that way. And you have a body and I have a body. This is also very, very temporary. You may think that you're calling me, insulting by saying a dead body. Yes, it's true, because ultimately my body dies. He uses these arguments, which we cannot use in an absolute sense, but he uses them to defeat the king. Nevertheless, we see that the king ultimately becomes very confused, because then he understands that this person is not what he appears to be. He is not a dull, dumb person. He's actually got very great intelligence, because he can counteract all of my arguments, even if the logic is not so perfect. Still, he's able to counteract my arguments and defeat me, so to speak. So his speaking actually had great effect upon the king, and that was the purpose of Jadvara's words. So because he was chastised and out of Rahugana's pride and his anger, etc., Jadvara uses those words in such a way to show that they are actually meaningless, and he gives all these different arguments in terms of non-identity with the body, and actually the soul is absolute, whereas the body is temporary, and that due to karma we go from body to body, and so none of these bodies is permanent, so we cannot identify ourselves with anything in the material world in a permanent way. So thinking one's a king, or I'm a master and you're a servant, all of this is illusory, ultimately. On another level, of course, not illusory, because we are stuck in this material world with these problems due to ignorance, but in this position, we do have the opportunity to advance in spiritual life. So we have a body, and in one sense we're dead bodies, because our body will eventually die. But as long as we're in the material body, we can use it in a certain way, and we can get great advantage. So in that sense, even though the body is bound to die, we can use it in such a way that it is very useful for our spiritual advancement. So if we use the body, which is material, for worshipping the Supreme Lord, we get a counter result. We get freed from the material body. We end up with eternal bliss and knowledge in the spiritual world. So we cannot condemn the material body completely. All we can condemn is our ignorance due to the fact that we completely identify with material bodies at all times. So that should be utterly condemned. So that is the ultimate purpose of Jadvara here in all these different arguments, simply to condemn this identity with the material body and all the illusions that it creates.
Just one thing to exception is so, and we are hearing these statements which are in an absolute way, they are not related with any other, or under one person, but as a second way, so we should be beyond the dualities.
Well, it's just like I said, Krishna also uses arguments like that. He uses arguments in Karma Mimamsa or from Samkhya or whatever to defeat Nanda. But actually, the arguments that we don't accept those as absolute because the conclusions of Karma Mimamsa, Sankhya or not, are our conclusions. So Krishna also uses these things. And we see even in Bhagavad Gita when he says, okay, it doesn't matter whether you're killed or not getting killed. But of course, on another level, yes, king, he can't just kill anybody he wants to say that. There's no effect of getting killed, killing anybody. There's no sinful reaction. So there are rules within normal dharma for who can be killed and who cannot be killed. So if we take that absolute standard, nobody gets killed, so therefore we can kill anybody we want, that doesn't, that makes sense either, but that's the argument he uses in the beginning. No, no, there's no death, there's no life, it doesn't really matter. So, for temporary effect in an argument, he uses that, but it's not, we can't take that as an absolute standard.
Well, in this case, can we say, no, at this stage, Jyotvarat is at Prema level, or so can you say that a devotee who is very advanced, very exalted, he comes down to a Madhyama Adhikari level and for teaching from there, then he can make such relatively correct statements?
Well, even if one is not on the level of prema or whatever, for a certain purpose one could use certain arguments. Doesn't have to be on prema to do that. So even if he's not, still, for certain purposes, as long as he understands that they are relative arguments, that he just simply wants to defeat someone for a certain purpose or whatever. So we see that Krishna does this also. That's not that he's coming down to a lower level to do so. He's just doing it because that's his will to do so, to somehow convince Arjuna to fight, or to have Nanda Maharaj to give up a sacrifice to Indra or whatever. So he uses those particular arguments which we don't accept on an absolute level.
Any distinction between these statements? For example, if you take this Prabhupada also made a lot of statements, and they could be very, very contextual.
Yeah.
And then if you just treat all these statements because he's an acharya, so whatever he's saying has to be true.
No, we can't do that, because even we can't take Krishna's answer. Also, we have to see the conclusion, because Krishna praises karma yoga or like anything in chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita, but then he condemns it in chapter 9. So obviously we got to see the conclusion, not that. We cannot take the, this is a half a chicken logic. You have to take the whole, not part. So if you don't understand the conclusion, you can't quote part of it as supporting. So that people, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that. Yeah, he said so many things, something contradictory, so you got to see what the conclusion is, not just take those individual statements.
The same Gadabara, he was insulted more than Raghubara by his second brothers and other. That time he kept quiet. He didn't want to show mercy on the king.
Supposed to, yeah. Even though the king insulted him, whatever. So. Of course, ultimately, the instructions are there too, not only for the king, but there are instructions from the Bhagavatam itself, so. Possibly for that reason. Already from previous life, he was Bharat and he was the deer and then he was Jad Bharat. So he had already developed as a king. He had reached a certain level, then he was on Bhava stage. And then he came down and became a deer for one lifetime, and now he's back to his original position as Bhava and Prema. He advanced to Prema on this life.
But in this life, why has come as like an handicap?
Because he didn't want to associate with anybody in the material world, because he understood that associating with a deer, he fell from that position. So he didn't want to associate with his mother and father and his brothers and sisters and all that and get entangled at all. It's all Maya. So he decided, I won't talk, I won't speak, I won't do anything. It's entanglement.
Maharaj, just a minute, for example, falls from Bhava level, so he comes to the lower level, like Uchi or Sakti, somewhere there, or he's still there at Bhava?
It depends on the seriousness of the fall down and offense or whatever. It depends on which, where it, sometimes it comes to Bhava Vas or whatever. Sometimes it's simply a slight weakening of the same type of rasa or whatever. It will depend on the particular offense or whatever, how, what stage he goes to. Yeah, but the exception is aparad. Sin cannot destroy the bhakti, but aparad can. Not necessarily, no. Some are sadhakas.
So
they're not nityamuktas. There are some devatas who are nityamuktas. Probably those are the ones in the spiritual world that have devatas also. But many in the material world are not, like Indra, whatever they are, and even Brahma is not ultimately on the highest level. So they can make mistakes and whatever.
So
Nityananda
doesn't
take anything? No. Okay, I understand, like a senior devotee after performing law, many years of service, he falls down. We should respect him more than others. He may even have fallen from the higher platform and indicated.
Well, if they're on the level of Bhava, definitely one cannot find fault in that person, as with Bharat, for instance. So we cannot condemn him, in spite of the fact that when he died, he thought of a deer and he became a deer or whatever. We cannot condemn that. It's Krishna. He will do whatever he wants with that person at that point, so we have no right to say. But even lower than that stage, Krishna says, Sadhureva Samantavya, I consider this person my devotee. So, if Krishna considers him as a devotee and we don't, then we're thinking we're better than Krishna if we condemn a person. On the other hand, of course, that means that that person actually continues his bhakti, etc. Now, if he commits aparad, not sinful activity, that's something different. And that can weaken it or destroy his bhakti. And if he destroys his bhakti, he's no longer a Vaishnava, then we don't have to give him respect as a Vaishnava. That's one version, but it's not necessarily it has to be like that. We see that it may not be. Putana was killed by Krishna, went directly to the spiritual world. She didn't have to go to a Leela in the material world to become a gopi or something like that. So it's one way, but it's not the only way.
Who? Putana.
Huh?
Yeah,
but not as a devotee. We were saying you join as the pastimes as a devotee in some material world.
Well, here you see, Jalabharat's words have so much effect on King Amaruna. So generally, the effect takes place because of the attraction of the devotee who preaches or approaches Krishna, or is it what is the relation? Is it because of Jalabharat's attraction to Krishna that
Well, it's Jad Bharat's decision. It's caused us mercy, that's all. In spite of the fact that he was offended by King Raghuna, and he decided at this moment to give it, that's his choice, that's all, as an individual. The devotee is given the freedom by the Supreme Lord to distribute mercy wherever he wants to. So when he wants to, he does. If he doesn't want to give it to his father, fine. Krishna's not going to say anything to that. And if he wants to give it to a King Raghuna, fine. That's also okay.
Also, King Raghuna would be surprised how a dumb man, like a laborer, can speak such high exalted words. So he would not be taken back.
Yeah, well, that's what happened, actually. He thought he had a full misconception of him. That's why Jad Bharat spoke in this particular way. Completely defeating his false ego. Even our scriptures give many instructions, guidelines to be humble, non-offensive, peaceful, etc. As in the pastimes of Jad Bharat and Raghuna, yet we have very difficult to follow the instructions day to day. Feelings sometimes get. Nobody's getting angry. Call each other names, etc. Well, that's of course the problem in the material world. anger and greed and lust and all these different things are affecting the jiva. So, of course, we hope that the process of devotional service will take away the anarthas, and it should happen. But the only problem is that if the process of bhakti is faulty for some reason, the basis is faulty, or there are aparadhas, and then the process may be slowed down or minimized or whatever, so therefore the anarthas don't disappear, or they find that it's very difficult for them to get removed because the process has slowed down so much. So in that case, all the person can do is remove the aparadhas and try to practice properly. Otherwise, those things will stay there and cause continual disturbance.
Dandrat Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Sarvam Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Jivan Desi Srimad Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sarva Gaur Pranam ki jai.